Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Well, all throughout the month of March, we are dealing with this idea, rise up and go. We are not to stay within the four walls of our church, but rather we are to go out into our community, out into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our theme throughout this month as we gear up toward the World Missions Conference that is toward the end of the month. By the way, I think we're only 2 weeks away from our mission conference. I was talking about it like it was way, way at the end of the month. Well, we are already at the middle of the month. So in two more weeks, we will have our World Missions Conference. And today, I want to speak on the subject of understanding missions. Understanding a little bit better what missions is all about, why it's so important to our church, and to talk a little bit about what we're going to experience here in a couple of weeks with our World Missions Conference. The first question that I want to answer is, what is missions? Have you ever wondered, well, preacher, you keep talking about missions, and I really don't know what missions is all about. What is missions all about? Well, you may find it interesting that the word missions, or the word mission, or even the word missionary is nowhere to be found in the Bible. You can look all through the Bible, but you'll not find the word missions, you'll not find the word mission, and you'll not find the word missionary. We get the word mission from the Latin word mitto, M-I-T-T-O, which means I send. And so a missionary is a sent one. Now, even though these words don't appear in the Bible, we have the concept of believers being sent all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Look at John chapter 20. I'm going to give you a heads up here today. We're going to turn to a lot of different Bible verses, so you're going to get familiar with your Bible here today, all right? Let's look first of all at John chapter 20, and I want to begin in verse 21. John 20 and verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me. In other words, the Father sent Jesus on a mission, right? That's the idea behind that word, mission. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now notice that God the Father sent God the Son, that is Jesus Christ, into the world. He was on a mission. What is the mission that Jesus was on? Well, go from John 20 over to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, because here we have clearly defined for us the mission that God the Father sent God the Son to accomplish. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. Here's the mission. Here's why God the Father sent God the Son into the world to what? To save sinners. Hey, it's what we just sang about, right? Our God saves. That was the mission that Jesus came to accomplish. And then Paul tells Timothy, of whom I am chief. We are just big, rotten sinners that need God's salvation, right? And here we see that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for the sins of all humanity. John 20, verse 21, back to the verse that I read, is saying that just like God the Father sent God the Son on a mission, Jesus Christ is now sending us, his followers, on a mission. He said, even as the Father sent me, even so send I you. In other words, God the Father sent me on a mission, and now I am going to send you on a mission. By the way, what is our mission? Well, we dealt with Matthew 28, verse 19 and verse 20. It's the passage of Scripture best known as the Great Commission. Let me read it again to you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, look at those two verses. I don't know if you have your Bible open to that passage of Scripture or not, but these two verses are one long sentence. It starts there in verse 19, and it goes all the way down to the end of verse 20. And there is one main verb. The word teach in verse 19, that is the main verb. And it is the Greek word mathetuo, which means make disciples. How do we accomplish the mission of making disciples of all nations? Well, it gives us three ways, and I dealt with this in my message entitled Finishing the Mission. Finishing the mission. How do we accomplish making disciples of all nations? Well, number one, we have to go. We go with the gospel. We share the gospel with people who need to hear about Jesus and what he accomplished for them on the old rugged cross. And then all of them who trust, all of them who put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then they are to be what? Baptized, right? There's the going aspect of the Great Commission, and then there is the baptizing part of the Great Commission. And we see the Trinity there. They are to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then there is teaching. And that is where we truly make disciples. We make followers out of converts. And so we go, we baptize, and we teach. That is the mission that God has given to us. We are to go into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to baptize those who put their faith in him, and then we are to teach them, disciple them. Teach them what? Teach them the whole counsel of God's word. By the way, back to the mission of Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus accomplished his mission. Right? You say, how do you know whether Jesus accomplished the mission that God the Father sent him on? Well, I'll tell you why. John 19, verse 30, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is what? It is finished. It is finished. The mission has been accomplished. And then he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. But we as the church, we are yet to completely accomplish the mission that Christ has given to us. Even as the Father sent his Son Jesus to accomplish the mission, and he did accomplish the mission, now Christ is sending us on a mission. What mission? The mission of the Great Commission that we read about in Matthew chapter 28, making disciples of all nations. We go, we baptize, we teach. But can I tell you this? There are still billions of people living all around the world that are yet to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what makes missions so important? Let's talk about that for a moment. Why is mission so important? Because you may be wondering, why do we have a World Missions Conference every year? Say, preacher, I have not been here one year where you did not have a World Missions Conference. That's right. Now, we may have done that conference differently. We may have started it on Wednesday, ended on Sunday, started on Sunday, ended on Wednesday. We may have had it on a Sunday one week and then a Sunday the next week. We've done it all kinds of ways, but we've always tried to emphasize the importance of missions here at Canton Baptist Temple. Why do we give so much to missions? Why do we as a church have a Faith Promise Missions giving program here where people give and we support over 170 missionaries and projects and organizations taking place all around the world? Why? Well, these are all good questions because everything we do here needs to have purpose, right? We need to have a reason for doing what we're doing here at our church. Things done without purpose tend to accomplish little, and usually they don't last very long. I think missions is important, but I don't expect you to think that missions is important just because your pastor thinks it's important. A ministry should not be driven by dynamic personality, but rather a church needs to be driven by divine purpose. Everything we do has to have a divine purpose behind it. So think with me for a moment as to why missions is so important. If you're taking notes, you're going to jot down three reasons why missions is so important. Number one, missions is important because of the cross of Christ. It's important because of the cross of Christ. I believe that the Bible teaches that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he died for the sins of all humanity. I want to give you some verses to emphasize why I believe that. The first one is in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Now notice in these verses, we've circled some words for you, and maybe you can circle those words in your Bible, because I'm going to take you to several different verses in the Bible. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," on whom? God the Father has laid upon God the Son, Jesus Christ, "the iniquity of us," and there's the word again, "all." I like what one preacher said. He said, if you're in the first all, and by the way, all of us are in the first all because we're all sinners, right? Anybody here today that's not a sinner? Don't you raise your hand. We're all sinners, right? And so we're a part of that first all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all sinners in need of the Savior. Then you need to understand that no matter who you are also included in the second all, meaning that Christ paid the penalty for your sins. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everybody is a sinner who needs Jesus, and we want you to know that Jesus died for the sins of everybody. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 John 2, verse 2. You may want to turn there. 1 John 2 and verse 2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins." I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus died for my sins. Aren't you? If he had not died for my sins, I'd be lost and forever condemned in hell for all of eternity. If Jesus had not died for my sins. And he is the propitiation for our sins. But notice the next statement. And not for ours only. Jesus didn't just die for your sin, but also for the sins of what? The whole world, not half of the world, not part of the world, not some of the world, but for the whole world. Jesus died for the sins of all humanity. He not only died for your sins, he not only died for the sins of everybody in Stark County and everybody in the state of Ohio and everybody in the United States of America, but he died for the sins of everybody in the whole world. That's what the Bible says. Are you with me? Then another verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. "And that he," that is Jesus Christ, "died for" who? Some? A few? a select group of people? No. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You've heard me talk about this in the past, and I'm not trying to give you a Greek lesson, okay? But I want to give you a little thought here that you need to remember. That word all that we see there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, is the little Greek word pas, P-A-S. And it is an all-embracing adjective that stresses no restrictions. The idea behind the word is anyone, anywhere, at any time. And I want you to know that God's passion is for all people to be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that God has a passion to save you today. It's God's desire that you repent of your sin and you by faith receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. I want you to see God's passion in the Bible, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now notice what God's passion is for all men to be saved. He wants you to understand the knowledge of the truth of His Word. He wants you to know that you can't save yourself. Religion does not save you. The only one who can save you is Jesus. That's what God wants you to know. And He has a passion for all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that, what? All should come to repentance. Do you see God's desire? Do you see God's heart? God's desire, His passion, is to see all people repent of their sin and receive by faith Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hebrews 2, verse 9. I told you I was going to go to a lot of verses, and I see that some of you have just given up on it, right? You're looking up at the screens, all right? Hebrews 2, verse 9, the very last part of that verse says that He, that is Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died for every person. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. You say, I get it. No, I want to share some more verses with you, all right? For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of, what's the word? All men, especially of those that believe. Now notice what the Bible says there. God's provision of salvation is sufficient for anyone, anywhere, at any time. But it is sufficient for all, efficient only to the person who believes. You say, oh, if God sent His Son Jesus to die for all, then is everybody going to be saved? No, everybody's not going to be saved. Because salvation comes only to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus died, now follow my logic, all right? If Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for the sins of all people, then don't you think it's important that all people should know about this good news? Right? If God's passion is to save all people and Jesus died for all people, God's passion, God's provision, all people, don't you think that all people deserve to hear the good news of the gospel? You see, if He died for just a select few, I don't think I would put so much time and effort and money into spreading the gospel around the world. There is no such thing as a person who cannot get saved. You think about that statement. You see, the issue isn't can't, it's won't. It's the difference there. I remind you what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus is saying, I have eternal life, everlasting life for you. I want to give it to you if you'll just believe. But the issue is not that they can't be saved. It's that they won't believe in order to be saved. Since Christ died for all people, then it makes logical sense that all people should have the opportunity to hear the gospel and either choose to accept God's gift of eternal life or choose to reject it. That's their decision, but they need the opportunity to hear about Jesus and to hear a clear and a simple presentation of the gospel. And I think that's important. That's what missions is all about. It's getting Jesus and the gospel to people that need to hear about him and what he did for them. You say, why is this so important? Why is mission such a big deal here at Canton Baptist Temple? Because God wants to see people saved. And because Jesus died for the sins of all people. That's why we take the gospel into the far-flung regions of the world. But there's another reason why missions is important, and it's because not only of the cross of Christ, but the command of Christ. Being involved in missions is an issue of whether or not we're going to be obedient to the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Are we going to be obedient? Every Sunday, you may not realize that after a while, you probably come into a facility like this and things that you've seen for years just suddenly become blended in the background. But up here, over the top of the platform, we have our mission. There's the mission that Jesus sent. Jesus said, God the Father sent me on the mission, and I'm going to send you on a mission. What is that mission? There it is. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice that that is not an optional concept. It is not a, if you feel like it, do this. But please understand that the Great Commission that Christ gave to us is not an optional thing for us to consider, but rather it is a command for us to obey. He said, go. He didn't say, think about this. He said, this is what you, as the church, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You see, we can't talk about loving Jesus with all of our hearts and then be disobedient to his Great Commission. You say, oh, preacher, I love Jesus, but I don't care anything about all this mission stuff that you're talking about. Can I quote you a couple of verses here? John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. John 14, verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Number three. There's another reason why missions is so important, and that is because of the coming of Christ. Not only the cross of Christ, the command of Christ, but also the coming of Christ. Go to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see this. I know you haven't been turning to all the verses I've been making reference to, but look, if you will, at Acts chapter 1, and look, please, at verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, you have the angel looking at Christ's disciples, and he says to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, notice that question again, the angel's question. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Those are words of displeasure. Those were not words of commendation. Those were words like, what are you doing? Why are you just standing there? You see, they weren't supposed to be gazing Christians. They were supposed to be going Christians. Those descriptions really are applicable to even the church today. There are those that are just gazing, and then there are those that take the Great Commission for face value. They take it seriously, and they go with the gospel to the ends of the earth. Why are we supposed to be going, Christians? Well, because Jesus had already given them, and he has given us, the Great Commission. By the way, the Great Commission was reiterated in all four Gospels and also in the book of Acts. Jesus is coming back, right? Jesus is going to return. And so the angel is saying, get busy doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be a gazing Christian, just standing around waiting on Jesus to come back. You're supposed to be a going Christian, getting out there and sharing the gospel with people who need Christ. Evangelist Junior Hill has well said, and I quote, God's grace is limitless, but the days of his grace are not limitless. In other words, time's running out, folks. I don't know about you, but I read something recently that said I'm no longer looking for the signs of the times, but rather I'm listening for the trumpet. The signs of the times are everywhere. We don't even hardly have to look for them anymore. They're everywhere. What we need to be listening for is the trumpet. In other words, Jesus could come back at any moment. You see, time is of essence when it comes to this matter of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Around the world, nearly 2 people die every second. Do you understand the urgency of what we are doing? Every second, 2 people. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. A dozen people already died in 6 seconds. I would dare say the vast majority of those people have never heard about Jesus. The vast majority of those people are not saved. That's what missions is all about. That's why it's so important for us to get out into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because people are dying and they've never even had the opportunity to hear about Christ. The angel says, why stand ye gazing? Who is a missionary? Let's talk about that just for a moment. Who is a missionary? In a certain sense, I guess every believer is a missionary. Someone has well said, every person is either a missionary or a mission field. I like that. Everybody is either a missionary or a mission field. Now, obviously, all of us as believers should be sharing the gospel with people that we come in contact with on a daily basis.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.